Hello and welcome to Southern Middle Tennessee Today on WKOM and WKRM Radio. Your hometown news broadcasting from the Debbie Matthews Nashville Realty Newsroom in Columbia, Tennessee. I'm your host, Tom Price. Today is Wednesday, March 13th, and we start with local news. Columbia Fire Chief Ty Cobb has reportedly been terminated from his position as of Tuesday. The termination was confirmed by both City Manager Tony Massey and Mayor Chaz Mulder, though no details have been provided thus far. I can confirm that he was terminated today, effective at 11 a.m. March 12th, Mayor Mulder said. Beyond that, I would refer any further information to our City Manager or Human Resources Department, he said. The termination comes a little over 4 months after Cobb was previously suspended for 30 days without pay in late October. A city letter obtained by the Columbia Daily Herald at the time said the decision was based on insubordination. No further details were provided in the letter. In addition to the 30-day suspension through November, Cobb was also placed on a year's probation set to expire November 27th of this year. Chief Cobb gave a brief statement to the Daily Herald Tuesday following the termination. My legal counsel will be giving a statement within a few days, Cobb said. Cobb was first hired on as chief following the death of former Fire Chief Tommy Hemphill, officially being sworn in July 1st of 2017. Since becoming chief, Cobb was also instrumental in obtaining and maintaining the department's ISO Class 1 rating, making Columbia Fire and Rescue the first Class 1 department in the state of Tennessee. He was later awarded Fire Chief of the Year in Tennessee in 2023. City Manager Tony Massey also confirmed Cobb's release and indicated that he would be making an official statement on Wednesday. Columbia City Council approved plans for a special census to be conducted later this year, a project which could net millions of additional dollars in annual revenue. Council members met last Thursday for their monthly study session while also conducting a special called meeting to vote on the proposed special census. The reason for the special meeting was for the council to approve the submission of $928,069 to the United States Census Bureau, City Manager Tony Massey said. It would essentially be another regular census conducted through the U.S. Census Bureau starting in the summer and going through the fall, Massey said. That way, it can be completed in time for us to send the new census numbers for the fiscal year 2025-2026 budget and the state shared taxes that we would receive from the new special census, he said. Massey added that the U.S. Census Bureau has forecasted Columbia's growth to be an estimated 6,800 people since 2020, a methodology he describes as being about 94% accurate. The purpose of the census, as has been the case in Spring Hill, who has conducted a few similar processes over the last few years, is to track population growth, which could then equate into multiple benefits to the city, namely increased annual revenue. If the numbers are correct, or in fact higher as population growth continues, it could net approximately $1.2 million in new annual revenue, or about $6 million by the 2030 census. From my perspective, I see this as a good move by council to approve as a business investment, because we should get our money back within the first year, Massey said, and then over the next 4 years, that amount goes forward, he said. Tracking the increased growth since the previous 2020 census could also award new grant opportunities, as well as establish Columbia's status as an entitlement city if Columbia's population meets or exceeds 50,000 people, Assistant City Manager and Financial Officer Thad Jablonski said. For some cities, given the variables that go into that calculation as an entitlement city, it's what you receive each year, Jablonski said. Whether that makes sense to you, it might make sense to some older communities like us who have low-income census tracts as designated by the U.S. Census Bureau. Like our sister city to the north, Spring Hill, it would make a little less sense. But as we approach that 50,000 threshold, that's something we can evaluate and take a look at, he said. It's one of the biggest thefts that longtime Lawrenceburg police officers can remember. Three expensive vehicles were allegedly stolen from a local dealership, including a brand new Corvette driven right off the showroom floor. Surveillance cameras caught the robbery as it happened. Police Chief Terry Beecham stated that the three vehicles are worth more than $300,000. That includes a $148,000 brand new Corvette. The heist happened at around 3 a.m. Friday, March 1st. Surveillance footage showed the suspects breaking into the Heritage Automotive dealership. Detectives said the men knocked in a window in the service bay, found a crowbar, and then went into offices where they found keys and license plates. Video from the showroom shows the thieves backing the expensive 2024 Corvette out of the showroom. According to police, the thieves stole a 2024 GMC Sierra HD2500 Denali pickup truck valued at close to $80,000, and a 2022 GMC Yukon was also stolen. They busted a window out of the service lane where you bring your car in when you are getting it worked on, and once inside the building, used a crowbar to break into the lockbox where the keys are, Detective Jeff Renfro with the Lawrenceburg Police Department said. According to detectives, the suspects left the showroom at 3:05 a.m. and were seen at a Giles County convenience store buying gas about 20 minutes later. The driver of the stolen Corvette was covered head to toe, but police said a second thief, the man who stole the Yukon, walked in and showed his face. "We had been told they could not get far. They only kept like a gallon's worth of gas, maybe 20 miles worth of fuel in that Corvette," Renfro said. Interesting, the thieves reportedly stole the Corvette with the top down and drove it with the top remaining down despite the cold temperatures that night. "I don't know if they didn't know how to put the top up or he just wanted to ride with the top down," a detective said. Police were able to track the thieves using OnStar until the tracking system was disabled. "My guess is maybe they're taking these vehicles further south, maybe Georgia, and they're going to re-VIN these vehicles and someone is going to think they're getting a real good bargain on them. Pretty sophisticated bunch, I believe," Renfro said. Later that same day, police said that the Yukon was recovered in Birmingham, Alabama. It was found with a flat tire behind an abandoned house. Investigators swabbed the vehicle for DNA and submitted the sample to the lab for possible suspect matches. Meanwhile, the Corvette and pickup truck are still missing, as well as the three suspects. Police are asking anyone with information to call the Lawrenceburg Police Department at 931-762-2276. Investigators said the theft matches similar crimes at dealerships in West Tennessee. General Motors and the Murray Regional Healthcare Foundation have partnered with Columbia Fire and Rescue to develop the Survive to Arrive Safe Driving Program for local Murray County Public Schools juniors and seniors. This campaign targets teenage drivers and focuses on the dangers of distracted and impaired driving, the importance of seatbelt usage, and the consequences of failing to obey the rules of the road. This will be the third year the Survive to Arrive Safe Driving Program has been held at Murray County Public Schools. Columbia Fire and Rescue has partnered with Tennessee Highway Patrol over the past 2 years to present this program to students. The program was expanded this year to include multiple fire responding agencies: Murray County Emergency Medical Services, Murray County 911, Vanderbilt Life Flight, Columbia Police Department, Murray County Sheriff's Department SROs, Mount Pleasant Fire Department, and Mount Pleasant Police Department have all joined forces this year to make this program even more impactful on our vulnerable young driving population by incorporating a mock crash event. Mock crash events are set to be held following the Survive to Arrive presentations at Columbia Central High and Mount Pleasant High School on March 15th and March 18th. A mock crash event allows students to see firsthand the consequences of irresponsible driving by witnessing a live dramatization of a wreck scene caused by a distracted, impaired driver. Wrecked vehicles donated by D&D Towing and Recovery are to be staged on school property, with local performers from Watershed Public Theater acting out the roles of those involved in the crash. Students will get to witness the consequences of dangerous driving habits, watching local first responders work the wreck scene in real time. The goal of the Survive to Arrive Safe Driving Program is to encourage local young drivers to permanently adopt safe driving practices and ultimately save lives. Yesterday afternoon, the new fine art gallery called Gallery 48 held their grand opening. Front Porch Radio's Delk Kennedy stopped by the business's ribbon cutting and spoke to the gallery owner Joanna Kicha.
This is Del Kennedy, Front Porch Radio. This afternoon, I am in downtown Columbia, Tennessee, at 107 West 7th Street, right in the heart of the downtown. I am at the grand opening and ribbon cutting for Gallery 48. It's in a beautiful, historic building here in downtown Columbia. The inside is full of paintings and portraits all over the wall, as well as various artisanal merchandise, such as pocketbooks, things like that. I'm speaking with Joanna Kitza, who is the proprietor of Gallery 48. Joanna, tell us what you offer here.
Hello, this is Joanna Kitza with Gallery 48. We are a new gallery here on the square in Columbia. We offer international and local paintings. This is a fine art gallery, so the art you will find here is beautiful. It was curated for its beauty, uniqueness, different styles. And we also have artisan-made, handmade items from different countries as well as locally made here in Columbia. Like I mentioned, we are a new gallery, so we are still growing. We have seven international artists and seven local artists local to Tennessee. We are just very excited to be in this historic building. It's beautiful. Every item you will find here is very unique and beautiful.
That's absolutely amazing. Now, Joanna, tell us the story. Now, you grew up in Poland, and how did you and Gallery 48 come to be in downtown Columbia, Tennessee?
I've always appreciated art of different forms, whether these were paintings or sculpture or architecture. And when I moved a year and a half ago to Tennessee from Michigan, I've had this vision of having a gallery. And I've looked at different towns and cities, but I fell in love with Columbia. The building where the gallery is at was available, so the space was available here to have a gallery. So I opened it at the end of September of last year, of 2023. Today is the ribbon cutting, so it's a big day for the gallery. Yes, I'm very, very excited to be here.
That is all so neat. Now, talk about your days and hours.
The gallery is open Tuesday through Saturday. Hours for Tuesday through Friday are 10 in the morning till 4 p.m. Saturdays, it's 11 till 5.
And where can people find more information about Gallery 48 online?
There's a website, gallery48.art, and we also have Instagram and Facebook accounts with the same name, gallery48.art.
All right, Joanna Kitza, congratulations. Again, this is Del Kennedy, Front Porch Radio, in downtown Columbia, Tennessee, at the grand opening and ribbon cutting for Gallery 48. I've been talking with the proprietress, Joanna Kitza. Joanna, once again, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The President James K. Polk Home and Museum is pleased to announce that the exhibition Breaking the Chains of Forgetfulness will open at Polk Presidential Hall on March 23rd. This exhibition features the work of three Middle Tennessee artists responding to stories of Middle Tennesseans whose contributions to regional and national history are less well known. Featured artists are Bernice Davidson, Gemma Perrin, and Michael McBride. Breaking the Chains of Forgetfulness is funded through a grant from the Tennessee Arts Commission. The exhibit is an extension of Bernice Davidson's Unsung Heroes project of art installations throughout Middle Tennessee. Davidson's work for this exhibition pays tribute to the enslaved on the Polk's family properties, as well as nine other unsung heroes, including Z. Alexander Luby, Will Evans, Sequoia, and Reverend Mac Pinkleton. Gemma Perrin's work for this exhibition incorporates the Adinkra symbols, meaningful African symbols that were often incorporated into the work of enslaved artists. Michael McBride's work explores the life of Elias Polk, enslaved by the Polk family and later a voting rights activist. Polk Home curator Kate Dunn stated, "Breaking the Chains of Forgetfulness is a powerful exhibit which tells the story of people who are forgotten in our history books. We hope that through art we can make history come to life, and we are looking forward for people getting to know persons such as Sequoia and Elias Polk." Executive Director Rachel Helvering said, "We are excited for the opportunity to bring people to life through these beautiful pieces of art that have been forgotten or overlooked in the past. We are grateful to the Tennessee Arts Commission for funding this exhibition." The President James K. Polk Home and Museum preserves the legacy of the nation's 11th president. Guided tours of the Polk Ancestral Home on West 7th Street are available year-round, Monday through Sunday. The Polk Home invites thousands of visitors and welcomes thousands of visitors from around the world each year. Group tours and field trips are available, and the Poke Home offers year-round educational activities, including summer camps, lectures, homeschool days, and social events. Admission to the exhibition is included with regular Poke Home admission or can be purchased separately for $5 per adult. The public is invited to an opening reception at Polk Presidential Hall on Friday, March 22nd at 5 p.m. For more information about the exhibition and featured artists, as well as supporting events, please visit www.jamescapehoke.com. The Marin County Clerk's Office can now help residents with renewals of license plates or placards each Wednesday from 8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at the Marin County Senior Citizen Center located at 1020 Marin County Park Drive. Please drive around to the back of the building and look for the car tag renewal sign near the back door. Forms of payment include credit or debit card or check. No cash will be accepted. Any Marin County resident can use this office. All other transactions will still need to be done through the main office located at 10 Public Square in Columbia. Also, you can renew online by visiting www.tncountyclerk.com or at the kiosks in Spring Hill City Hall and Mount Pleasant Courthouse. Car enthusiasts, start your engines. The highly anticipated Main Street Car Show is set for Mount Pleasant, Tennessee on March 16th, showcasing a dazzling array of classic, vintage, and exotic automobiles. This family-friendly event promises an afternoon filled with automotive marvels, entertainment, a kids' zone, and community spirit. It'll take place on March 16th from 2 to 5 p.m., located on Main Street in Mount Pleasant. Car shows in Mount Pleasant have been a beloved tradition in our community, bringing together car aficionados, families, and friends for an afternoon. Attendees can expect to feast their eyes on various vehicles, from meticulously restored classics to sleek modern cars. Whether you're looking for an afternoon outing with your family or just love the beauty of a well-maintained automobile, there will be something for everyone at this year's show. In addition to the impressive lineup of cars, the event will feature live entertainment, food vendors, and activities for children, making it a perfect outing for the entire family. Local businesses will also participate, offering special promotions and discounts during the event. And now your hometown memorials, sponsored by Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Mrs. Barbara King Norton, 86, a resident of Orange Park, Florida, died Wednesday, March 6th at her residence. Funeral services for Mrs. Norton will be conducted Saturday, March 16th at 10 a.m. at Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Burial will follow in Rose Hill Cemetery. The family will visit with friends on Friday, March 15th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Hometown Memorials is sponsored by Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home, serving with dignity and consideration for over 150 years.
As years go by, people may tend to forget just what a funeral is really all about. At Oaks and Nichols, we believe it's first and always a special remembrance of someone you love. We start by listening to your needs and desires. If you're unsure, we can help, gently, professionally. At Oaks and Nichols Funeral Directors, we haven't lost sight of why we're here, to serve Murray County families in the ways they prefer, and why Matt and Susie Sowell believe the way to honor tradition is with especially personal service.
We believe your traditions, your customs, your rites of passage are very important, but we also believe in taking care of your personal wishes as well.
At Oaks and Nichols, we try to do more than just the expected things, so the service you receive honors your heritage and is uniquely yours, and we invite you to experience the difference.
Oaks and Nichols Funeral Directors, 320 West 7th Street in Columbia. Since 1856, people you can rely on.
For your southern Middle Tennessee weather, we will have partly cloudy skies today with a high near 75 degrees. Winds will be out of the south-southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, we can expect a few passing clouds and a low of 54. Winds will be light and variable. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll cover state and national news that affect you. You're listening to Southern Middle Tennessee Today.
Debbie Matthews, realtor, and her husband Jason, who is a pro songwriter, also own a music publishing company. They live in historic downtown Columbia with their dogs. Dog rescue work is their passion project. They consider Middle Tennessee their backyard, and their lives are full of all things Tennessee. Debbie says there is no greater honor than to help someone find a home. To be trusted with that job, there is no greater privilege. Call Debbie at the Nashville Realty Group, 615-476-3224, 615-476-3224.
Family first. My dad used to tell us that all the time. But family first wasn't just something he'd say to us. It was how he lived every day of his life. And it's how I try to live mine, too.
At Shelter Insurance, our agents are dedicated to helping provide personalized auto, home, and life protection that puts your family first.
For auto, home, life, or business insurance, see Shelter agent Tommy Hyde Jr. at 388-2009.
Are you thinking about a new fence? Maybe you need a pole barn. Then you should give Sands Fence Company a call. That's 931-309-1644. Will Sands has built his business based on the principles of honesty, quality, and integrity. Sands Fence Company has been in business for over 20 years, providing the community with farm, residential, and commercial fencing, as well as pole barns and buildings. Call today for a free estimate. Sands Fence Company, 931-309-1644. 931-309-1644.
For 40 years, the Jewelers Bench has worked hard for their customers and provided the highest quality jewelry at the best price. They keep going back. Recent renovations have allowed them to expand their inventory. More high-quality jewelry, custom vintage and estate pieces, and professional jewelry and watch repairs. They also buy gold. The Jewelers Bench, still here, still great service. 808 Trotwood Avenue, Columbia.
Bank with First Farmers, and you can bank with confidence. With personalized solutions, dedicated experts, and over a century of experience, First Farmers lets you feel secure and empowered in your financial choices. This is Felicia Brown with First Farmers, and I would like to remind you that no matter your goals, First Farmers is here for you. Visit myfirstfarmers.com or call 1-800-882-8378 to switch to First Farmers today. Member FDIC.
This is Trey Adcock with Dixie Equipment Sales and Rental. We sell ASV and Wacker Neuson equipment. We also rent a wide variety of compact equipment in the Middle Tennessee area. Come see us. We are located in Columbia, Tennessee at 200 East 16th Street. You can call us at 615-969-0118 or visit our website at www.dixiediesel.com. We have been in business for over 42 years, and we would love to help you turn your project into reality.
Deciding what your next home will look like, cost and construction, or timing can be intimidating. At The Wave Realty, our licensed general contractors help take the fear out of home building by walking you through the step-by-step process of estimating the cost and designing the look that you desire. You can even stay in your house until your new house is finished. Do you have a family farm or a piece of land you would like to build on? Our prices start at $195 a square foot and include brick and nice finishes. Come by our office and see what we can do for you at 800 Hatcher Lane in Columbia or call us at 931-580-4669.
Welcome back to Southern Middle Tennessee Today on WKOM 101.7 and WKRM 103.7. This program is sponsored in part by George Vrilis and the great team at The Way Realty. I'm Tom Price. And now news from around the state. The Tennessee General Assembly confirmed Mary L. Wagner to be the next justice on the state's highest court Monday night. Wagner, a Shelby County Circuit Court judge, is Governor Bill Lee's third appointment to the Tennessee Supreme Court since taking office in 2019. Once Wagner takes the bench, Lee will have selected a majority of the justices on the five-member court. Wagner's confirmation passed the Tennessee House of Representatives 94-3 and the Senate 32-0 during a brief joint session of the General Assembly that began at 5:30 p.m. on Monday. After the votes were cast, lawmakers gave a standing ovation to Wagner, who was in the chamber with her family. Wagner will take the seat after Justice Roger A. Page retires on August 31st. Under a 2014 amendment to the state constitution, a governor makes the appointments to the Tennessee Supreme Court, which then require legislative approval. Justices then face retention elections every 8 years. Lee selected Wagner on February 1st from a pool of three finalists, including Tennessee Court of Criminal Appeals judges Camille R. McMullen and J. Ross Dyer. In his announcement, Lee applauded Wagner's understanding and respect for the rule of the law and commitment to judicial restraint. Members of the Tennessee Senate Judiciary Committee unanimously approved her selection last week, with lawmakers on both sides of the aisle hailing her as an excellent choice for the court. During the hearing, Wagner described herself to committee members as both an originalist and a textualist, and said overturning precedents should be done sparingly and cautiously. "I may not agree with the law at issue. I may not believe its application necessarily produces a fair result. Regardless, I do and will apply the law as written without regard to my personal feelings or beliefs," Wagner wrote in her application to the Governor's Council for Judicial Appointments. Former Governor Bill Haslam appointed Wagner to her current position as Circuit Court Judge in 2016, and she won elections for the seat in 2018 and 2022. She is a member of the Memphis chapter of the Federalist Society, a conservative legal organization. Wagner graduated from the University of Colorado in 2006 with a degree in political science before earning her law degree from the University of Memphis, Cecil C. Humphreys School of Law. As an attorney, Wagner worked at the Memphis law firm Rice, Amundsen, and Caperton, where she mainly handled family law, personal injury, and commercial disputes, according to her application. Wagner will be 40 when taking the bench, making her the court's youngest member. Wagner's confirmation also means that the majority of the five-member court's justices will again be women. The court has been majority female before when Justices Holly Kirby, Cornelia Clark, and Sharon Lee served together from 2013 to 2021, and when Kirby, Lee, and Justice Sarah Campbell served together from 2022 to 2023. Lee retired and was replaced by Justice Dwight E. Tarwater. Let's take one last break. When we come back, we'll cover the final story of the day. You're listening to Southern Middle Tennessee Today.
Turner and Osborne Tire Company, 1016 South Main Street in Columbia. Give them a call at 931-388-6822. They've been doing business since 1947 and in their current location since 1964. They provide the best tire and mechanical work at some of the best prices in Middle Tennessee. Hey, they're official Michelin and Goodyear dealers, and they've got all kinds of brands as well. Stop by and see Walker Vining and his professional staff, or check them out online at turnerandosborne.com. That's turnerandosborne.com.
Living with a worn joint can be painful and frustrating. Leave your joint pain in the past with a joint replacement procedure at Murray Regional Health. Our joint replacement program has been recognized in the top 10% of the nation for medical excellence and patient safety, thanks to our highly skilled and experienced surgical staff who perform progressive procedures for the knees, hips, shoulders, elbows, and ankles. For more information, go to murrayregional.com/joint replacement. Murray Regional Health, where clinical excellence meets compassionate care.
Have you ever wondered if your insurance needs can be personalized? This is Hunter Carey. Our team specializes in planning your insurance needs to get you the best possible solution. State Farm is the largest home and auto insurer in the country. I love bringing that to my hometown. Born and raised in Columbia, I'm grateful for our close community ties. We offer help with home, auto, and life insurance for everyone in our community. Our office is located at 909 South Garden Street, across from the fire station. We're also online at huntercarey.com. That's Hunter, C-A-R-Y.com.
Welcome back to Southern Middle Tennessee Today, and now our final story. Following the announcement of his sixth solo album, Orgy of the Damned, due out May 17th on Gibson Records, the iconic Grammy-winning guitarist and songwriter Slash has confirmed a North American tour in celebration of the blues this summer. Slash's newly announced Serpent Festival, an anagram that stands for Solidarity, Engagement, Restore, Peace, Equality, and Tolerance, will kick off on July 5th in Bonner, Montana, and stop in Franklin at First Bank Amphitheater on August 14th. General on sale for tickets begins Friday, March 15th at 10 a.m. local time. For pre-sales, visit www.serpentfestival.com. That's all for this edition of Southern Middle Tennessee Today on Kennedy Broadcasting WKOM WKRM Radio. I'll be back tomorrow to update you with the latest news. I'm Tom Price. Thanks for listening. Be safe and have a great day.